Okay, so we saw there's a concept that you buy something from a Gunneth, you didn't know he was a Gunneth, then even though halakhically afterwards you find out it was stolen, you should return the object, that's of course true, but you don't have to lose by that act of returning the object. There's a special hashut, which says is that the nigzal, the one who the object was stolen from, has to reimburse the one who bought that stolen object in order to get back his possessions. It really belongs to the nigzal, but he has to compensate the buyer for the fact that he spent money in getting hold of it.
If he didn't know,
it was a gun.
He has to reimburse what it cost him.
Yes, whatever the buyer paid for that stolen object, the nigzal, the one who owns the object, has to compensate him in order to get back his object. That's what a concept we saw last week. Now, let's discuss a din Torah. That's connected to this. That's connected to this concept. There was somebody who bought an apartment, a new apartment. Let's say he bought a new apartment in a new project. And now he was getting the apartment ready for living. So he was installing all the things that apartment needs. Now one of the things that people install is security bars. So he was going shopping around for a good price for those security bars installation. And he got the general idea that in order to install those security bars which he wanted, it would cost him around between 6,000 and 7,000 shekels. Then he got a quote, well, let's call him Ruvain, that was 3,000 shekels. Less than half of all the quotes. This was astonishing to him, that he got such a low quote, and he's a bit suspicious, but money always overcomes suspicion. And so he went with the 3,000 guy, Mr. Reuben. He was expecting some sort of catch, and Reuben came along and installed the bars, and they looked like good quality bars, and everything seemed great. So he paid him 3,000 shekels. Great. Then there was a part of the job was to paint those bars, and he saw that some of the bars hadn't been painted. Fine. So he called up Ruvain and says that I would like you to come back and to paint those bars. So he says, the Ruvain says is that, okay, I'm going to come. I'll come tomorrow. Again, he doesn't come. So he keeps pushing him off. So now, he decides to go into the workplace, where Ruvain is. So he goes there. He knows where it is. He goes there. He walks in, and he starts asking for Ruvain, and he says, goes over to Ruvain. He found where Ruvain is and says, look, why didn't you come and paint my bars? So Ruvain says, keep it quiet. He says, what's going on? What do you mean keep it quiet? I don't want the boss to hear about you and your bars.
You're in the boss's bars.
So now he hiccups an issue like this, that he realized that these bars must have been stolen by Ruvain from his boss, because he asked the price of that chevra, how much does it cost, and they said 6,000 shekels to install the bars. So now he's worked out that Ruvain stole those bars from his boss, installed them, hasn't told his boss, and in fact those bars are actually stolen. So now he comes with a shaila. He has a shaila that he was planning to move in the following day. And now he wants to know whether he's allowed to move in and have use of those security bars or not. Because they're stolen? You're talking about the situation where we've learned up to now that if you buy stolen goods, then the din is, what's the din? Is that those stolen articles have to go back, but you get compensated. Okay, so the halakha is that those really should be, that those bars do not belong to Ruvain, to the my house, which he was installed in, and I would have to inform the real owner. He would be able to take those back and compensate me 3,000 shekels. But the bars don't belong to me, so how can I move into the house and use stolen goods? That was his shayla. So, do we say there the same concept that those in that situation, the stolen goods do not belong to the buyer? The only thing he can do is get back his money. So if we look at the Gemara in Gittin, it says like this. The Mishnah in Gittin, and it says like this, Hamorish Hagozu Shabonu Babira. If a gunner stole a beam, and he put that beam of wood, he built it into his building, so he used a stolen article to use in the materials for building his house. The din is, Shiyito es domiv mitnei tekonis hashovim. Then the gunner who used it to build in his house, he can keep the beam. He's allowed to keep the beam in such circumstances. And he only has to pay for the beam. Says Rashi, why? Because of the corner. Shimata matzricha lagaga biroso lasa not ish atmo yomnim lasa to shuva. Because if you insist that he has to return the stolen article in such a circumstances, which normally we say is the halacha, if you insist on that, then he would have second thoughts in doing teshuva. What? He's going to knock down his whole house to get back this beam? To give it back? He's not going to bother doing teshuva in such a case. So encourage a gunner to do teshuva. We say, don't worry. You can keep the stolen article in such a case because you've put it part and parcel of your house. And all you have to do is compensate for that article, actually pay for the value of that article to the owner of the beam. Now the question, which I'm going to ask you now, is it comparable to this case? Do we say that now that those bars have been installed as part of the house, they actually belong to the house, and all that needs to be done is be compensated for the money, and therefore when you're using the house, you're not stealing any bars at all? Or do we say it's not comparable?
Our case might be less bad. I mean, this is Gezel B'mezid. Maybe our case is only Gezel the Shogig. Maybe it's not as bad.
Yeah.
So our case is not Gezel at all for the bad.
Right. But what's Gezel the Shogig?
But his chiyuv can't be any greater than the chiyuv of the Gazel.
Yes.
So he should be allowed to keep it.
So we're saying that Avada, these security bars belong to the house, and the only chiyuv is money. Therefore, he has to just—he could go into his house. He can use the house.
See, he doesn't even have to pay for it. The God's one has to pay the money.
Another difference.
Yes.
The whole house does depend on his birth.
So Eric is saying maybe this halakha only applies when it in destroying the whole house.
But the Gemara in Kiddushin talks about where it's only by a sukkah, where it's a little piece of schach.
So we see from elsewhere that as soon as it's part of a building structure, even if it doesn't now cost you necessarily much money to remove it or damage, we see from the Gemara in Sukkah, which is talking about schach over there, you're allowed to keep it. It's part of the tekona, that once it's part of a structure, then it belongs to you, and the only chiyuv is in such a case, money. Why does that make sense? Because of a look. That what Chazal instituted, that if it comes part of a building, because generally it costs a lot of money to undo it, they instituted it belongs to the gunner in such a case, and only chiyuv is money. So therefore, even if you happen to have scenarios that it's not going to cost you money, but they made the look. Once it becomes part of a fixed structure, it becomes part and parcel of that structure. You and me will have to wait. Now let me ask you another question. Okay, so the bars belong to the house, and there's no problem in him moving and in using it. Does he have to pay for the extra 3,000 difference?
Who?
The owner of the house? Or not?
what 3,000 is? Oh, that he has to pay.
That really, the value of the balls is 6,000. And he got 3,000 that he paid. And therefore, do we say like this? He has to pay 3,000 because he hasn't paid really for the whole value of the balls. And the gunner has to pay the other 3,000 to the owner, his boss. Or do we say he's off the hook altogether? Just like we say that the takana was. That once you installed it into the house, the gunner can keep it. He stole a beam, he put it in the house, the gunner can keep it, but he has to pay. So do we say also the buyer of the stolen goods which installs in the house, yes, he can keep it, but he has to pay for any difference that he gained from the stolen article, or do we say he's off the hook altogether?
No, once the stolen item is no longer the end, the buyer has no chiyuv at all. He only has the chiyuv to return to the original owner because he has the end, the item that was stolen.
Yes.
Now it's no longer the end.
That's the over bank.
Why shouldn't the person who stole have a chiyuv?
No, he does. The person who stole it.
The value of the vase is not 6,000.
Oh. Okay.
Value of the
bars
is obviously not 6,000.
Right,
that doesn't
sell. Right, the installation.
He should pay only the value of the actual bars, which might only be 2,000.
Who's he?
Who's he? The buyer or the gardener?
The buyer. Why the buyer? The buyer has a stolen object in possession.
No, he's not.
They're connected to the house now.
No, the gardener is a stolen object. Once this gardener installed it, it's not a stolen object.
Yeah, meaning number two is saying you don't have to remove it to a chair. But you still have to pay.
No, the gardener
has a chair.
He has the object.
No, he doesn't have the object.
The lawn's the barmaid.
It changed into a gate.
It belongs to the gardener.
It's muchad for that house. It's made.
He doesn't have to give it back.
Each set of bars is made
for the owner. 6,000.
Yes.
Because he would have to
pay
6,000, but providing it is
stolen
in the bar, he didn't provide it.
Okay, didn't find it.
So the question is,
So saying the work is out, but the value of the bars, who has to pay that? The Gazan. Yes?
No, I said the owner of the house, the buyer.
Or the owner of the house.
He said Gazan, I said
Okay, good. So if you put the both takanas now together, we can come up with the conclusion. One takana is somebody who buys from the gunner, he can't lose money. He has to give the article back, but gets compensated his money that he spent. He can't lose monetary to it. That's one takana. Another takana, the gunner himself installs it into a fixed building. His chiyuv is only money. He doesn't have to return the object. Now let's put the two together. If you put the two takanas together, the buyer of a stolen object who puts it into a fixed building, then you come up with an equation like this, that the article he doesn't have to return because it's inside the building, and money he doesn't have to lose because that's the din of takanas hashuk. He never loses money. So therefore there's no chiyuv at all for the owner of the house to not move in, and also not to pay. He doesn't have to pay, and he can move in.
What if the bars are worth more than 3,000 that he paid? What if the bars are really worth? So he won't be losing money by paying the difference in the price of the bars and what he spent. That's still not a loss.
So he's still taking more money out of his pockets. Once the bars are in, the bars are part and parcel of his. It's his. Now, he has money? He hasn't got his money. Who's got the key of money? The gardener. Not him. That's the two takanas together. Now, let's move on to the next case. We're building it up. Is this the same? We have somebody who owns, Reuven, who owns a simcha hall. He owns a simcha hall. He bought this simcha hall. And now he asked a mazgan guy, air conditioning guy, to put in 6 mazganim. To make it a usable hall for simchas. Can't have a hall for simchas without mazganim. So he does that. He asks, Reuven asks Shimon to put it in. Shimon has in his contract that the ownership of those air conditioning units do not belong to Reuven until it's been paid in full. Shimon has still ownership of the air conditioning units until Reuven has paid for those air conditioning units in full. Okay? Reuven hasn't yet paid. No, because he put this in his contract. That even after I install the air conditioning units, it still doesn't go over to the ownership of Reuven of the Simcha Hall until he's paid. Reuven hasn't paid.
What was the payment arrangement?
The payment arrangement is that you'll give an initial sum up front, which was minimal, and you'll give the rest when the work was completed. Work was completed, and he said, I don't have the money available at the moment. Come back in a week. Fine. A week passed, and still there's no that money available. A month passed, and still there's no money. So now Shimon says, this is going to be ridiculous. I installed those air conditioning units, and still haven't been paid. Now Shimon makes a claim against Reuven and Bishter. Suddenly, Reuven disappears, and he's out of the picture. Where is he? He's run the country, because he's a gunner, an enforcing gunner. If he just didn't steal from this guy, he's been stealing from lots of guys, and suddenly everything kept caught up with him, which always happens with Golovin, and he disappears. But before he left the country, Reuven did one last business deal. He sold the Simcha suite to Levi. So now Levi owns the Simcha suite with Mazganim, which don't belong to the Simcha suite. Now Shimon goes to Levi and says, please pay for these Mazganim. Levi says, nothing to do with me, I just bought the Simcha suite. So Shimon had enough of this. So Shimon decided that he was going to take the law into his own hands. And in the middle of the night, he came with his tools and removed all the mazganim. Now Levi has got a Simcha coming up into that Simcha suite in 2 days' time. So now there's a claim in Beis Din.
This was a real case.
Real case in Beis Din. The day before the Simcha suite between Levi and Shimon. Levi saying, return my air conditioning units, which you took off the building. And Shimon says, then my air conditioning units are not returning until they're paid for. Who is correct in such circumstances?
Wow.
Do we say, based on what you learned the first case, what would you say, who owns these air conditioning units?
There's a Shibudon, the air conditioning
Who owns these air conditioning units?
The buyer.
There's a
Shibudon,
the seller of those air conditioning
units.
Has a Shibudon,
the
air conditioning
units.
There's a Mashkan.
But who owns them?
He does.
Yeah.
I would say the
if it's a Shibudon, you're not allowed to claim your debt on that shibud without going through the process of basement. If you do, it's a legal claim. So if it's just a shibud, that's not good enough for us. I want to know who owns those air conditioning.
Levi.
Shimon or Levi?
Levi. They're attached.
No, not because they're attached. Sure.
You say Levi.
Not because it's attached, because...
So what is Reuven?
Nothing. He never stole them.
Reuven didn't sell.
He's a welcher.
What is Reuven?
He's a welcher. That's it.
Did Reuven steal those air conditioning units?
He did not.
Did he not steal those air conditioning units?
He didn't steal them.
No, he
just didn't pay for
it. Right.
What's the halacha if you've got goods which you're supposed to pay for and you don't pay for it? And you prevent the goods from being taken from you. What is the halacha in such a case? Do you just owe money, or you're gunner on those goods?
How do you prevent them? How did he prevent them from being taken?
He said that I don't want you to come and take it. I'm going to pay you, pay you. Ignoring you. What's the status of those air conditioners? Were they stolen, or they just were never stolen, just sitting there?
It doesn't.
What was in the minds of Reuven from the beginning?
He's got to steal
them. To steal them. So?
Well, to never pay for them.
Never to pay for them. So somebody who gets goods with intention of never paying for them, what is he called?
Again?
We don't know if that is.
He's a Mephorsum Ghana.
I don't know.
His history is that
he sold the whole without paying for them.
Is that a Ghana? I don't know if I want
to run the country.
Why?
So, what did Reuven do? Reuven said, I'm going to steal these Ghana, these acquisitions, that's because I have no intention of paying. And how did he steal it? Because he owns the Simcha Suites. And a chotzer can be kona for Ghana, just like a chotzer can be kona for anybody else. So therefore his simcha suite was kona those mazganim, kinyan geneva. And therefore Reuven is a ghana on those akadishnians.
How can a chotzer be kona kinyan geneva?
Yes. It's a Gemara.
The chotzer, yeah.
Gemara says, Manayin shall a gad for chotzer can also have a kinyan for the ghana. If he's misgoverned for it, if that's his intention, the Gemara says.
He drags the animal into his chotzer.
So therefore, he intended to fill the air conditioning unit, and his chotzer was kona for the fact of that meiser gazela, so therefore he stole those air conditioning units.
But he didn't do the meiser.
So doesn't need to, his chotzer was.
Even though he did not want to put him in
there. Yes. Now those air conditioners were stolen by Reuven. Then what did he do? He sold them to Levi. Okay. So Levi bought stolen goods. So what's the halacha when you buy stolen goods which are attached to your house?
Which you didn't know was stolen.
So it doesn't have to lose.
Therefore, according to the principle,
that's when you attach them after you stole them.
At the time you stole them. So therefore,
he doesn't have to lose.
No, who has to pay for them? According to the first case, Levi, who bought them from the Ganif while they're attached to the house. According to the first case, is the halacha is that Levi owns it because it's attached to the house. And he doesn't have to pay because he bought from the Ganif and he's not the Ganif himself. The Ganif has to pay, but he bought from the Ganif. Because Shuk, he doesn't have to lose money.
They're not attached.
They are. So if at the time they were attached, they belong to now Levi, what did Shimon do by taking them off and taking him to his house?
He stole
the Ganif.
So Shimon is the Ganif. So according to the first case, based on the principles of the first case, Shimon stole those air conditioners and he had to put them back free of charge in order to get in time for the Simcha the following day. Yes? Yes. No.
I mean, it's defeating its own purpose.
Same as somebody who gives a piece of gold to a jeweler to be made into something. He can hold that article until he gets paid.
It was only given as a musket. This wasn't given as a musket. Now, why is it not true what we just said? We just built up a wonderful picture that Shimon is the gunner.
I can tell you a technical reason why it's not true. But it still won't resolve it. It doesn't make sense.
You're allowed to seize your property.
No. But it's not your property. It's not your property.
If you didn't pay for it, you can seize it back.
But if the halakha is once the gun has attached it to the house, it belongs to the house.
He signed his contract.
As long as it's not paid,
he's still the owner.
Even though it was attached. But the Sakana says, well, a Ghana who says, I'm ignoring that and I'm stealing it and I attach it to my house, FRP game, that means we've got a Sakana now.
And he's going to attach it to a building, yet they're still mine.
A Geneva always overrides the fact that
a Sakana can always override contracts. Contractual conditions, the Tekona, if it's a Tekona, it's instituted by Chazal, a Tekona always overrides it, because that's the purpose of Tekona. It overrides even Din Torah. Kol Shekhinah overrides your conditions which you are putting in. The Torah says also give it back. The Torah says don't give it back. So how do you add anything by making conditions?
So I can give a reason why in this particular case it won't belong. Who's the guy that owns the home now? Levi? It won't belong to Levi, but it's not going to work in other cases. Because when was he, when did he purportedly make this kinyan? When it was attached to the building, right?
Yes.
At that point becomes karka, and karka ain't an exelus.
Karka ain't an exelus just means that's only if it's a type of karka which can't be moved. But here it's a karka which could have been moved.
The liberal karka doesn't count as karka over there? Okay.
Now, okay. So, no bright ideas, so we carry on. So,
we don't even have non-bright ideas.
Shulchan Aruch Chaim says like this. Aruch Chaim, by Hilchos Sukkah. Im gozel eitzim, if somebody steals wood, v'osem mehem sukkah, and he makes out that stolen wood a sukkah, even though he hasn't attached it, he hasn't made any changes at all, Yotzeh, his mitzvah of sukkah, even though it's stolen stuff. What? Why? Tekonis achovim, because of the same tekonah. She'ein lebal eitzim, ela demei eitzim bofat. Because the halacha says, so once it's attached to the house or part of the house, it becomes the gunners and he only has to pay money. Okay, same, what we learned, nothing new. Comes along the Mishnah Brewer and adds a condition. Vim eino watzol says to me eitzim, but if he doesn't pay for it, which the Tekonah stipulates that he has to pay, lo yotzer, he hasn't done the mitzvah of sukkah. What do you mean? What happens? What's the tekonah? It's a two-part tekonah. The two-part tekonah is that once you attach to the building, you can keep it, but on condition that you pay for it. But if the ganav doesn't want to pay for it, then there's no tekonah, and we go back to the original halakha, which says you have to return the stolen article.
So what do you do with the Gemara and Sukkah?
You have to pay.
But the guys there aren't paying for it. It's Rav's servants that are stealing the stuff of Nachman. Rav of Nachman, I remember. They're stealing the stuff and putting it in his sukkah. And he said, ignore the old lady. She doesn't have any rights to it, knowing full well that his servants aren't intending on paying
for
it.
He has to pay.
He does have to pay.
Yes. We're going to say he has to pay. Now, if we're saying that, what's the tekonah? What's the tekonah? The tekonah is stolen goods which attach the house only come part of the house if they're paid for. If they're paid for, says the Meiri. Why? Because it's a condition.
Wait, paid for in full or paid for in part?
That has to be.
The bar's case is paid for in part.
We're going to discuss that. They have to be paid for in order to keep it. Says the Meiri in Sukkah that it's a machlokas rishonim. Some say it comes automatically yours even without payment, and it's just a debt. Some say paying is part of the tekonah, and therefore, if you don't pay, it never comes part of yours. It never becomes yours. It's a machlokas rishonim.
How are we supposed to know if he's intending to pay or not?
Therefore, he's in the mice to pay, not intention.
He says, ain't no road to us, shall we?
He says, I don't want to pay. He says.
No, but if he says, I do want to pay, even if he doesn't pay it, then it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. So therefore, if so, it's a machlokas rishonim, is it yours if it's paid for or not? Therefore, we go like this. In sukkah, then you're not your sukkah until you pay, because when you haven't paid, there are opinions which says it's not your sukkah.
Or is it not kosher?
It's not kosher because it's not yours. So therefore, if you don't pay, you haven't yotzei your mitzvah sukkah because of those opinions. In momentous, if it's part of the house already, then I can say you're not allowed to take it because of the opinions which says it's mine even without paying. You're not allowed to take it because there's opinions which say it's mine even without paying. All you can do is force me to pay, but you can't take the article because there are opinions which says it's mine even without paying. That's in momentous. But and here's the but if I went and took the law into my own hands, and snatched it back. Now, who's holding the article? The original owner. The original owner can then turn around and say to him, since there are opinions which hold that it doesn't become yours unless you pay, and you never paid me, so therefore, according to those opinions, it's always mine, and therefore, I don't have to give it back because it's mine, according to those opinions.
And then later, you can steal it back and make the same argument back to
him. Wait a minute, you left that.
Not after based on stuff.
You left that something.
So therefore, before I left something out, I just want to conclude. Therefore, in the first case, with the bars attached to the house, then for sure the halakha is, according to the opinions, which says, even if they're not paid for, they belong to the house. And you can't take it in the way. And you don't have to do anything about it, because I can rely on those opinions in nominals. But in the second case, where the original owner already took them back, he can say, I go according to the opinions which say, they're mine all the time, they haven't been paid for. And therefore, now they're mine all according to the opinions. I don't have to return them unless you're going to pay for it. And therefore, the halakha, the Beis Din Paskens, if you want Shimon to return those air conditioning units, then you have to pay for them to be installed back into the Simcha suite. Because of the opinions which says they always belong to Shimon if all the time they haven't been paid for. Okay? So now we've worked out the first case and the second case, and they both fit in with each other because of this machlokas. Now what have I forgotten?
The guy who's got the building now is not the government. He's not supposed to lose any money. So he doesn't have to pay for it. Not only that, he's taking it.
He's not losing money. He's not losing money.
He paid extra for a building.
I understand what you're asking. Did he pay over and above the price more for the fact there were air conditioning units there or not?
Yes, it's not functional without it.
Ruben, no. Ruben bought the building just for his
building. He sold it for a profit.
The price of the building to do the enterprise with air conditioning units.
He was in a rush.
So the basin. The basin will have to check, which they did, is that the price he was sold for, is it the same with the air conditioning or out of the question, the type of price that he sold for. In this case, they checked out that, and they saw that even though the air conditioning units were there, but Reuven, since he needed to get out of the country very quickly, he came down on his price pretty well. That you could say that the air conditioning units were just thrown in as a present, so therefore he never lost any money on the buying the simple suite.
Maybe he wouldn't have bought it if he didn't have the air conditioners in it.
But now he got a good deal. But he got a good deal without the air conditioning units.
Well, good deal if he wouldn't have bought it.
Do you know what? So who's his claim against?
Reuven.
So go chasing Reuven in Mexico City if you want.
I know
Yumi, you have good friends. Okay, so let's move on now to the case.
What's it called in Morocco when you rely on another human?
Kimli.
Well, let me just ask you one question.
Whenever you're based in some Tom Rabbanese always shouts, Kimli! And the based in this, what's Kimli here? Because the Tom Rabbanese has got no idea, but he knows if he shouts at Kimli, that maybe it will help because the Dionysian can find something else.
So if the guy with the bars, the factory owner went and took out his bars, he'd be in the same position?
Yes. But he doesn't know about it.
Oh.
Now.
Oh, and the question was Shimon a gazan for taking the air conditioning? I mean, did he do anything wrong?
No, because according to those opinions. Which say that it still belongs to him because he hasn't yet been paid for. He relies on those opinions to take it out. If you would come and ask the Rav, no Rav will allow him to ask, but he took the law into his own hands.
When Reuven was given a price of 3,000 shekels for the bar, is that supposed to put him on notice that this may be stolen goods?
Yes, but as I told you, that when it comes to money, people become suddenly
does that allow us to say he took it knowing that it's stolen?
No, because that's the derech of people, to how their minds work.
If he would have paid extra for the building, would he then have to deduct it off?
That would have to be compensated.
Yes. By whom?
By the, as the Thomas of Shuk says, to get that difference.
This is what you're in big trouble.
What?
This is what you're in big trouble. difference? You go and buy a house, you bargain a price for a house.
You have to do your due diligence. It's called due diligence. That's
okay,
what.
But in the end of the day,
a lot of people like to cut shoulders or corners just to save the pennies and they lose the pound. The fifth on Shulchan Aruch is you have to be sensible, which means you have to get a proper lawyer, you have to get proper mandas, you have to check to the guys, you speak to the neighbours. Whenever you buy something, you have to do
with all that, you still fall in.
You still fall in because people like to cut corners, save the pennies, and lose the pounds. Now, let's move on. Now, as we said last week, the case is like this. Reuben and Shimon live next to each other. Shimon then sells his property, plot of land, to a big kaplan. That kaplan now wants to build on it over 20 floors of building. Yeah? So he starts building. About a week into the building of the whole, Reuben, who is the property next door, sees where it's been built and realizes that they're building into a half a meter of his own property. Has been built into. That they've gone over the border. Reuben decides to keep quiet at this stage. When he gets to the 23rd floor, suddenly Reuben turns up with a summons to Beis Din. So they go to Beis Din, Reuben and the kaplan, and Reuben says like this: "This building is built in my property. I prove it here. I've proven it. Everyone agrees it's half a meter. It is a property. There is great shock." Now, what's your claim? So the builder says, "Don't worry. We realize the mistake. We'll compensate you for the value of that half a piece of meter across the whole length of your property. Don't worry. You know what? We'll even give you double the value. We're willing. We're kind and nice." River says, no, that's not good enough. I've got many daughters to marry. And they're getting close to chasna age. And Baruch Hashem has made it possible for me to be able to marry off my daughters, the Rapkus, and therefore I'm claiming like this.
You didn't say that, that's true.
That. I'm claiming like this. Either you give me the whole of the top floor, or you have to knock down and return my half a meter of land. What? Yes, half a meter. You either cut off the building half a meter, or you give me the whole of the top floor. So what's the halach in such a case? It's my land. You've stolen my land. And you incorporated in your building. What's the halacha in such a case? What's the halacha? So Eric is saying, according to what we're learning, that once the stolen article has come part of a building, it doesn't need to be destroyed, it comes part, and all it does have to be is compensate for the value of what was stolen. So therefore, the builders are correct. That is, the land belongs to them because it's part of the building, and you just have to pay for the value of the land.
It's karka, mamash karka.
Yeah.
What's Einan Gzelis? He stole it.
No, he didn't. He can't be stolen. It's not Shaya. There's no Gzela.
By Kaka, it's not a Gzela.
No.
She can't move the Gvul.
So what's the problem?
He's not going to. There's no Kenyan on the Kaka.
Well, we'll take it. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want, we'll double.
He did.
But there's still no Kenyan. End of story. He's still no Kenyan.
He has to move it back. Move it back.
He gave it away.
So how much will cost to move it back?
There's no takana.
He didn't give away. He had a cheshbon. He knew move it back.
How much will cost to move it back? You crazy?
What's that called? I could have saved your money, but I didn't.
What?
What's that called? If it's saying I could have saved your money, but I didn't. No. What's it?
I could have saved your money. It's not called anything.
It's called I didn't do the mitzvah of.
Hashavas Avetus Hasolus. Okay, I don't do the mitzvah.
But he was masking to allow them to build. He let them continue to build, even though it was
at what price did he mask him?
There was no Heskin.
No, but in his mind, his Haskoma was based
how
on...
How long was the project building for?
For what? For what? What was he willing to give it up?
You can't cut a deal without the other side being masked to the deal.
Fine, so I'm cutting the deal now.
You cut the deal beforehand already.
No, I don't need to. You made the mistake.
You can tell me I'm right. Just come for
it. It was 2 years or 3 years ago?
Well, it doesn't matter. That doesn't tell me.
2 years, 11 months.
Okay.
28 days.
So, the Beis Yosef brings down a Rabbeinu Rucham and Halach as well. That says like this, number three. Rabbeinu Rucham Bechelet Bob writes this. Kotzim. You went over the border and you built your wall in the property of your friend. You took his land. And you used that wall to build up a huge building, a foundation for your huge building, which you went into his property. You have to knock it down. Hakol. Because here we don't do Takonis HaShovim by Kaka. We don't say it comes part of the property. Why, says the Rashba? Because when it comes to land, we don't make Takonis to force people to give up land. To force people to give up Metaltzelin. Okay, they could be replaced. You do get this one, you get that one, just get money and you replace it. Fine, we make Takonis. But to give up someone's property? We don't force people to give up their property because of a takona. Therefore, takona never applies by karka, and the karka has to be returned.
What did they give it to the same karka somewhere else?
He gave it up.
He gave it up on condition of a price.
He
didn't give it up.
He said, I see what's going on. I got no problem with it.
I got no problem with it. I got no problem.
How can you demand
more than that? I'm going to have him over a barrel.
Because he says, I want it back. If you want me to give up which I want, then this is my price.
What if they buy the neighbor's property and give him that property? Can they buy the same size or double the size from the neighbor?
No, this is what I want.
This spot.
Yes, this is mine.
He's threatened, even Binyan Gedolim.
He's tried to get round.
It's comparable to what it is today.
So, he
mysteriously fell out of his top floor apartment.
That's the year me mahalo.
You had life insurance.
Nobody's arguing with me.
So,
let's see if Bezin has a better idea.
The Marbit and the Shah Melech said it like this. They said there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch later on that says like this. Number four, Kol Shnayim Shohar Yevoyim B'Tach. Two people on a journey. Zeh B'Chodesh Shoyayim, Zeh B'Kach Shol Tavash. Some with a barrel of wine, and some with a jug of honey. V'Nitzik HaKach Shol Tavash. They got a hole in the jug of honey. And the honey is much more expensive than wine. V'im Omelei Itza Shokor V'Ata Nusnei Zemishali, Yosheh Hitna Kim B'Tzei Basin, Harizdeh Chayv Litzin. The owner of the Dvash can say like this, you have to pour out your wine
to save my honey,
and therefore I can use your barrel to put the honey in to save my honey, and you have to do that. I'll compensate you for the value of the honey, but no
of
more
the wine.
Of the wine, but no more. The halacha is he has to do it. Because of the hears of Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda says you have to do it, and Beis Din can force you to do it. Yes. So the Shama says, if the person who stole your karka by mistake, he stole your karka by mistake, and now you're telling him, knock down your big building, otherwise, or pay me a huge amount of money, you can say to him, no, you got a piece of land and you got a mitzvah, Shabbos and Veda of my money. You have to give up your piece of land to save my money, and I'll compensate you for the land.
But they don't know about karkaros. I can charge any price I want for them.
No, the value of the shuk.
But there's no value. The reason they don't know about
karkaros means
because of location.
No, the many of them to start saying that ain't no karkaros means there's no issa, but there is a value. So, say, my bit, the halacha of this halacha, that you have to knock down the building is only if he stole on purpose, not if he stole by mistake, because he stole by mistake, there's a mitzvah to save his money, and therefore give up your lands.
Why can't I say, can we like you're showing him that there is no one else like our boss, because there's no value?
Everyone knows the shit matter.
It depends what's called mazid.
Double
what's,
the shit matter.
What's mazid?
Yeah.
But Gakon.
What's
mazid? You should have checked with
the problem is, as many Achronim argue on the Muppets, and they say, that doesn't fit in with what the Rashba says. The Rashba says, we never make a Tokona to take somebody's property away. And this is also part of a Tokona, we wouldn't make it. So the Erech Shai comes out like this.
Part,
they made the Tekona. Called the all Kashavas Avedah.
It's not a Mitzvah
Shavas Avedah. No, not Mitzvah. They made the Tekona because of the Shavas Avedah. So now the Erech Shai says, what's the halacha? Because it's a Machlokas. The halacha is, you have to knock down the building. Because the land belongs and still belongs to
Reuven.
So he's mochsed on his land. He's still holding on to his land. It's a sofik whether there's a tekona, and halakha is sofik tekona. There's no tekona, and therefore you have to knock down the building. So the halakha is the dry halakha, and many times based on I've told people who built in other people's rishos, even by mistake, you have to remove that building. Because the tekona does not apply here, and therefore you have to knock down the building. If you want to keep it, you have to agree to all his terms and all his conditions.
What happens?
So in the case of Levi and Shimon, we said it's machlokes,
yes,
and therefore leave things where they are. If it was still
who wears where, who wears it off, where is it off?
Right now, where it is the building is built.
Ein gezele b'karka. The karka always belongs to the original owner. Even when the building on it, it's still my land.
But it's machlokes.
No, the land belongs to machlokes. I have to give it up. I don't have to give it up based on the machlokes. So you have to give, you have to knock it down based on passing that many times when there's been building, even by mistake, it's other people's property. There's a catch here.
Always a catch.
The catch, and the catch is like this. Yirmin mentions he saw at the beginning. And he said, okay. So Basin says, asked him, at the beginning, what was your intentions when you said, okay? So he said, you know, to be honest, I'm not a liar. To be honest, I'm going to tell you the truth. And my intention was, is that I don't really need that piece of land. And okay, so I'll get a bit of money out of this. Half a meter. That's not bad, getting half a meter of land. Right? But by the time they finished the 23rd floor, and my daughter was in Shidduchim, I realized that I needed more money, and I wasn't getting any more money. And then I learned about this halacha, and I came up with this plan to get the whole top floor. So now the basin says to him, ah, different story. That means when you gave the land away, you gave it within condition. You can take my land, just pay the golden rate. You can't change afterwards to say, now I want more than the golden rate. You've already given it away. Letting them build.
What if he had malicious intentions at the beginning?
If it was malicious intentions at the beginning, we call him a Russia for having those intentions. But in Ochanami, you have to compensate him for the top floor totally.
Why is that called giving it away though? He didn't actually give
he's
it away.
He's not a Muslim, they can go and take my land. That's the thing.
I'm Muslim, they can go and take it later if they give me what
no,
I want.
No, he sees it, and they can build. They can build what? Over here.
No, like they already built. If they don't end up being Muslim and giving money, he's going to insist that they have to get rid of it.
At the value of the half a meter, that's his autonomy. Give the land already at that stage. He's given it. He's mafkir it to them.
Where
at
is he mafkir it to them?
Mafkir it to them. What?
In his head.
What?
market value.
Now they owe him the value of the land. Yes, half a meter. Yes, very good.
But half a meter, that half a meter is worth a lot of money.
Yeah, it's quite, it's 23 not, floors sitting on yeah, it. Yeah, it's not, not bad. No, but 23 floors plus the hutsars, so it's different. Yeah. Okay, so it's not bad. It's not bad to get some money and get double of it, but finally gets as much. But if his condition from the beginning was a taka to get the 23rd floor, then he'd be a rosher, so he'd get. Have to get the 23rd floor.
Oh, wait a minute. So if he said, I always intended to wait till they're finished building and get the 23rd floor,
yes.
Then he would get
yes.
it. Why would he be a Russia?
Be a Russia because you're soaking somebody money. You're squeezing out of somebody's money in the not nice way. It's called a Russia.
But if they knew they were, but if they knew they were taking his land,
yeah,
and they just thought they'll get away with it.
Yeah, that's different.
That's a different case.
Now, for next week, you'll think about this. Now you know all the kalalim. You can think about this. You live in a building, and you're the bottom floor. You know, underneath your floor, there's lots of land space available.
A kalal.
Called a kalal. So now you think there, you build it out. Neighbors now take you to Beis Din and say, you took a halal. Give it back, or you're going to have to pay. How much? $100,000. What's the halacha there? First, you have to think about who owns the halal. Who owns the halal?
No one.
And can they squeeze money out in such a case? Whatever they want. Their demands have to be met or not, like we decided over here. Who owns the halal? Think about
this. Wow.
Now, turn off these things. I have to give a public warning to everybody. But this has to